always a festive time here in December on these streams. And you know, Festivus is coming up later this week. I got my poll ready. It's going to be a good time. We have already got people gifting memberships here. Everybody's in a festive mood. But it was a Christmas miracle tonight, because we got not only a very good episode of Raw, but I would say the best episode of Monday Night Raw that we have had in many weeks was this episode tonight here in Iowa. This was actually one of the more eventful holiday episodes of Monday Night Raw that we have had in a very long time. And tonight's episode was highlighted by the Bloodline invading Monday Night Raw. We had Solo Sikoa, we had Sami Zayn, and we had the Usos showing up, wreaking havoc all throughout the entire night, because Roman Reigns wanted to send a message on this show tonight to Kevin Owens, because it's going to be Kevin Owens tagging with John Cena on the final SmackDown of the year, taking on Roman Reigns and Sami Zayn. And so he wanted the Bloodline to come to Raw and basically just wreak havoc on the entire roster to send a message to KO. And so from the very beginning of the show, in the opening segment, right through until the main event, we had the Bloodline was all over this show. It was almost like a little mini NWO invasion. Only the NWO had about 28 more members than the Bloodline does. But we had Kevin Owens teaming up in the main event tonight with Seth Rollins to take on Jimmy and Jey Uso. Only a few weeks after Kevin Owens tagged with Matt Riddle against Jimmy and Jey Uso. Tonight it was Kevin Owens and his old best friend Sami Zayn. So basically Kevin Owens is going to be going through multiple partners taking on the Usos until eventually the reunion happens with he and Sami Zayn. And then at that point they can take the tag team titles away from the Usos. See, I see what he's doing here. He may go through another partner or two before he finally reunites with Sami Zayn. We had a little tease at the end of the show tonight, too, when the main event was over, when Kevin Owens went eye-to-eye with Sami Zayn. They teased, is there going to be something between them? But then Sami left the ring. Little teases, little breadcrumbs. It's all building to something that I think now we all know it's coming. I've been calling for it for months. And when it finally happens, it's going to be great. Still the best story they're telling right now in WWE, the stuff with Sami Zayn. Owens got the win for his team. The titles were not on the line tonight, obviously. We do not have new tag team champions. But Owens and Zayn both pick up wins, important wins, heading into that big tag team match on the final SmackDown of the year. Tonight, we also had Becky Lynch and Bayley in the ring together one-on-one for the very first time in nearly 4 years. So we're not talking tag team matches or War Games matches. One-on-one, first time that we have seen Becky and Bayley in the ring together in a very long time. And they had a very good match with a much-needed win for Bayley. She desperately needed this win tonight. She got it. The Raw Women's Championship, by the way, is going to be on the line in 2 weeks. The first Raw of 2023 will have Bianca Belair defending her title against Alexa Bliss. So they're not waiting until the Royal Rumble to do at least the initial match. They're going to be doing it on the first Raw of the new year. And also tonight we had winner take all for all the moolah. No titles on the line, just two big bags of money hanging above the ring between The Miz and Dexter Lumis. But the real story isn't so much Dexter Lumis or The Miz. The story here is that Triple H, as you can see here, has brought back another. People love to make fun of Triple H now, calling him Triple Khan. Borrowing a page from Tony Khan, he's been signing a lot of talent. We've had a lot of returns to WWE television since Triple H has taken over. But this one right here, this is not one to be mocked. This right here is a wrong being righted by Triple H. Bronson Reed, Jonah, call him whatever you want. He is back in WWE. He is not in NXT. He has finally made his main roster debut. He is going to be aligned with The Miz. And, I mean, that you could have whatever opinion on that that you want to have. But the key is that Triple H has brought... Look at The Miz. What is... I'm trying to figure out what reaction that is. that the Miz has on his face here, and this looks like he had a pine cone shoved up his ass. I'm not quite sure what that expression is, but at least Bronson Reed in this image looks like a badass. So at least one of them does. I don't think Miz has looked badass at any point during his entire career. So why start now? But this is your Monday Night Raw review for December 19, 2022. I am the Solomos. You can help get us to 72,000 subscribers. All you need to do is hit that sub button. If you are new here or if you're a lurker, lurk no more. Come on, we're going to ring in the new year. Hit that sub button to make sure notifications are turned on. That way when new content goes up or I go live, when my hand goes up, your mouth goes shut, whatever it may be, you will be alerted when new content goes up on the channel. So go ahead and hit that subscribe button. Super chats are open. I thank you guys, the ones who have already sent in super chats. You guys are great. I'm going to be reading your messages here in just a little bit. And 350 likes is the goal. A modest goal for Be the Booker tonight. I think we're nearly at the halfway point already. So if we hit 350, we'll do Be the Booker a little bit later on. Remember, this is it. This is the final Monday Night Raw review of the year. Because Raw next week is a best of clip show. And I ain't doing a stream. So this is it. This is the final Raw review for 2022. So I'm glad that you can all be here with me and join me here tonight. Hey, Trey Knight, thank you for the compliment. You make me blush. Thank you very much. By the way, I've lost track here. We've had a bunch of people gifting memberships already since we've gone live. And I meant to acknowledge everyone. Let me just go back here before I get into this review. Oh, of course, it's the good doctor. Dr. Dakota Scorpio gifted a channel membership to Beale Gates. And I believe, was that Zizu that I saw a little while ago? I think it may have been. This chat is moving so fast, it's hard to tell. Stone Norton has been a channel member, a Sound of Legend, for 2 months. A shout out to Stone Norton. And yes, there he is. There's Zizu gifting a channel membership as well. So thank you guys. You guys are great. And I may have a little surprise, actually, for channel members later this week or early next week as far as a special feature that's going up, so you'll want to keep an eye out for that. All right, let's get into this review here, because tonight's show opened with a shot of Jack Daniels. Now, it opened with a shot of Paul Heyman. I'd rather have the Jack Daniels, frankly. I'd rather have Jack Daniels opening Raw than Paul Heyman, but that's what we got tonight. And it's Hanukkah, everybody, right? It's the first full day now going into night number two, I believe, of Hanukkah. Paul Heyman opening the show tonight with the WWE Championship on one shoulder and the Universal Championship on the other shoulder. So we had ourselves the true tribal chief, only Paul Heyman is part of a very different tribe. He was in a room that looked an awful lot like the Bloodline locker room in Chicago for SmackDown last Friday. And he introduced himself. He noted that he works for Roman Reigns. Camera pulled back, and there we see Roman Reigns sitting down in a chair. Reigns said that Raw is the home of Kevin Owens, who now has John Cena as his tag team partner. Reigns said that Owens would need the entire Raw locker room to have his back because Owens has interfered in his business way too much. And Reigns said that the Bloodline will make Kevin Owens' life a miserable hell until he and everybody else in the Raw locker room acknowledges him. So they cut away to a live shot backstage now of Jimmy and Jey Uso and Solo Sikoa and Sami Zayn. And Jey Uso was playing cameraman with his smartphone while the other members of the Bloodline were in the background. They were beating up Mustafa Ali. Poor Ali. Ali is the punching bag here on Monday Night Raw. And Sikoa picked him up off the floor. He gave him a Samoan spike. So this was a different way of opening up Raw. Right, a lot of chaos here to start Raw tonight, and opening with Roman Reigns, who obviously was not there live. But how often do we get to see Roman Reigns on Raw at all? So we go from the top star and the champion to this scene of chaos in the back. They obviously taped that segment with Reigns and Heyman in Chicago last week, in case you couldn't figure it out, because we all know Roman Reigns don't work Mondays. So of course he had to tape it on Friday because he don't work Monday nights. Although he may be, is he working next Monday? I don't think he is. I don't think he's working next Monday either, because next Monday is the big post-Christmas annual Madison Square Garden show that they do. And no, I don't believe Roman is being advertised for that show. Solo, Sammy, and the Usos. I think it might be an 8-man tag. And so, no, I don't believe, or not an 8-man tag, a 6-man tag. So, no, Roman Reigns, I don't believe, is even working Madison Square Garden next week. But do you know who will be at Madison Square Garden next Monday? Bray Wyatt. And they're promoting it as Bray's first appearance at Madison Square Garden in 3 years. So, Bray Wyatt will be there. He will be talking to himself. Much as I am right now. I'm not talking to myself. I'm talking to all of you. Right? But the people downstairs probably think I'm talking to myself. Well, fuck you. So, the opening match was Finn Balor and Damian Priest representing the Judgment Day, taking on, we have the Street Profits and Akira Tozawa. Rhea Ripley was out there with the Judgment Day, as was Dominic Mysterio, who was wearing shades after being blinded by Asuka last week with the blue mist, which was supposed to put him to sleep, but instead it was burning his eyes, and poor Dominic was blinded. I don't know if you saw any of the video, by the way. WWE was posting stuff from, like, on their Instagram and stuff a few days ago from any of the live events over the weekend, but they showed Dominic coming out, and he had shades on, and he was acting like he was still blinded and couldn't see, so he had Rhea kind of guiding him, because he was still feeling the effects of the blue mist from Asuka. It's amazing how Dominic, in a short period of time, has become one of the most entertaining parts of the show. He is one of the reasons why I enjoy watching The Judgment Day. If you would have told me that 3 months ago or 6 months ago, I would have said you're out of your mind. But here we are. That's why I love the dynamic with him and Rhea. So during the match, they cut in with more video, another backstage attack by the Bloodline. This time they were beating up Andre Chase. I know many of you were probably wondering, who? What? Andre who? The Giant? He's been dead. No, not that Andre. Not Andre the Giant, not Andre 3000. Andre Chase from Chase University. It's one of the fan favorite gimmicks they have going right now on NXT. I know many of you don't watch NXT. But Andre Chase was there tonight, as Corey Graves acknowledged on commentary, to have a match on main event. They taped main event before Raw tonight. So they were beating up Andre Chase in the back. And then we saw somebody down on all fours. And we couldn't really get a shot of his face. But they wanted us to believe that it was Elias. And I think it was Jey Uso handed the guitar over to Solo Sikoa. And Solo Sikoa smashed the guitar over this person's back. Supposedly it was Elias, but they never showed us his face. And his hands look way too pale to be Elias. So I assume they had a stand-in for him here. Anyway, we had a match going on. Late in the match, Tozawa splashed whatever was in his Solo cup that he was holding. He splashed it at Rhea Ripley on the outside, but Rhea ducked. And poor Dominic. Hey, Anti-M Bishop, thank you for the 1992 Ric Flair Super Chat. Yes, that's right. MH Nova is an NXT fan, so he knows. He says that was a teachable moment for Andre Chase. That's kind of his gimmick. It's a long story. But I guess you could say that was his Raw debut, right? When Andre Chase eventually makes his main roster debut. He made his main roster debut tonight. He got his ass kicked. But he made his main roster debut tonight. Dan Teller has been a channel member for 3 months. He wants to know if Sami Zayn joining the Bloodline helped resurrect a storyline that was going stale. There was some staleness going on with the Bloodline. There was. Even I was starting to get really tired of it. And he injected new life into it. Now, who knows? If Sami Zayn didn't come along and they didn't, you know, make him part of this storyline, who knows where we would be with the Bloodline right now? What story would they be telling with them? You know, would they still be telling, you know, that they had that story going for a while with Roman Reigns and Jey Uso, and Jey was subservient to Roman, and wouldn't stand up to him. Maybe Jey Uso would be the main focus instead of Sami. I don't, who knows, right? It's one of those what ifs. I don't know. But did Sami Zayn breathe new life into the Bloodline faction? Absolutely. He's been the best part. He's been the absolute best part of all of this. So I don't see how you could say no. But anyway, poor Dominic, blinded by what was clearly water. Or maybe it was vodka. Maybe it was vodka. Vodka. It could have been vodka. Does vodka burn? Does vodka burn your eye? I imagine it would. It probably burns like a bitch. Maybe not like whiskey, but I don't want to take vodka to the eyes. I'd like to think it was vodka. I could use some vodka. I could use a screwdriver right now. So this all distracted Finn Balor and the Rey Zizou. Thank you. I appreciate that. This all distracted Finn Balor in the ring. Tozawa rolled him up for the shock pin. So we got the classic distraction roll-up finish here on this show. Rhea Ripley angrily marched down the aisle to confront Tozawa after the match and punched him right in the face and knocked Tozawa to the ground. And then she challenged Tozawa to get in the ring and fight her. And she walked back down to the ring, got inside, and she was calling him out. And that was the hook heading into the commercial break, which was a smart way to get people from tuning out, you know, to stick around and see, are we really going to get this intergender match, which is something we don't normally see on this show. So I thought that was actually a smart way to go to commercial break there to try to hook people into sticking around and not changing the channel. So when we got back, the Street Profits were trying to fire up Tozawa outside before the match. And he let out a primal scream before entering the ring, and the match was on. So again, we had a rare intergender match here on this show with Rhea Ripley one-on-one against Tozawa. Rhea took Tozawa inside out with a big boot that Tozawa sold it great. And that's one of the reasons why he was chosen, I'm sure, to be in this match. You know, he could take the bumps for Rhea Ripley that other people either wouldn't be able to take as well, or maybe they wouldn't want to, right? Maybe they wouldn't want to go in there and sell for Rhea Ripley the way that Tozawa would. So I thought that he took a great bump there on that big boot. Ripley put Tozawa down and then failed to suplex him for a two count. And then we got a rough sequence here. We got a rough sequence between these two. They were not on the same page. And they mistimed a bunch of counters, but Tozawa finally took Rhea over with a Hurricane Rana. And she rolled out to the floor to collect herself while Dominic checked on her. Tozawa teased a dive, but when he hit the ropes, we had Balor on the outside, and Finn Balor reached in and tripped him up. Ford and Dawkins got into the ring. They both hit stereo flip dives out onto Balor and Damian Priest on the floor. Tozawa got Rhea down. He headed up top. He's going for his giant diving senton that he does. He gets some height. You know, we talk about Montez Ford getting height on the frog splash. Holy shit, the height that Tozawa gets when he goes up for that senton. He launches himself up into the heavens. Unfortunately for him, nobody was home. Rhea hit the riptide and pinned him to win the match. I was not a fan of Balor, pinning Balor on the distraction the way that they did. But they gave the Judgment Day their win back. They don't do intergender matches anymore because they don't want the men hitting the women. That's why we don't see them. When we used to get them sometimes on television 20 years ago, we're pretty fucking far removed from 20 years ago, in case you couldn't tell. So, you know, generally they don't like doing that, and they have their sponsors, and they have Mattel, and, you know, we know why they don't do it anymore. And there was a moment in this match where, you know, Tozawa went to punch Rhea, but he held up. And she's taunting him, you know, go ahead, hit me. One of these days, this woman is going to get hurt. You know, if Randy Orton were around right now, I don't know if it would be, you know, on TV or if it would be at the Royal Rumble or when it would be, but I have no doubt in my mind that Randy Orton would be delivering an RKO at some point to Rhea Ripley, but it's not going to be him because who knows when we'll ever see Randy Orton again. It may not be for a very long time. But this was a good way, I thought, to make Rhea look strong, and it's Tozawa. I saw some people in the chat a little bit earlier on when this all went down. Oh my God, I can't believe they did that. I can't believe Tozawa lost to a woman and he had to sell for Rhea. Oh my God, oh, it's Tozawa. Fuck. Are you kidding me? His only job on this show is comedy relief and to make other people look good and put over other people. That's it. That is his sole purpose on this show. Everybody on these shows has a role. That is the role that Tozawa is in. Would you rather have AJ Styles go in there and sell for Rhea Ripley and do the job to the Riptide? I could only imagine the shitstorm that that would cause. So I didn't understand that when I saw the comments in the chat. Like, are you really upset that, of all people, Tozawa would go in there and have to sell for Rhea Ripley and job to Rhea Ripley? Who cares? I would much rather it be him than somebody else. His job was to go in there and make Rhea look like a destroyer. And that's what she did. I thought he did his job very well. And aside from that one rough sequence where they were, again, not on the same page and they were botching a couple of things, I thought this was fine. I thought his part was to put her over and he did a fine job. So Adam Pearce was shown in the back on his phone, leaving Paul Heyman a voicemail, and he was urging Heyman to call him back. Ooh, the snow stopped. Finally. The snow has been mounting here on the stream. A little reprieve here with the snow. That's good. So he was trying to get Heyman to call him back. He was urging him. It's very important. So he was asked by Kathy Kelly about the situation with Bobby Lashley from last week. There was no Bobby Lashley on the show this week, which would make sense if you saw what happened last week. Bobby Lashley got fired at the end of Raw last week. Adam Pearce fired Bobby Lashley. And then about a day or two after he fired Bobby Lashley, he posted a video on social media backtracking and basically unfiring Bobby Lashley and apologizing for losing his cool. So we went from, hey, this is kind of an interesting angle. Where are they going with this? He just fired this guy. To him going on Twitter and saying, oh, no, my bad. I didn't mean to do that. So coming into tonight, I didn't know what the hell was going on with Bobby Lashley. Pierce said they spoke in private at WWE headquarters. He said that it's not a matter of if, but a matter of when Lashley returns to work. But beyond that, he shed no light on when we might be seeing him again. MVP interrupted. And he walked up and he approached him. He said, oh, speaking of Lashley, he wanted to have a word with Adam Pearce. And before Pearce could indulge him, a referee showed up to tell Pearce that there was an incident at the loading dock. You gotta come quick. Quick. Come on, boy. Like he's fucking Lassie or something. He's falling into the well, boy. And so off went Adam Pearce to go find out what was going on. He left MVP behind. But very interesting that MVP wanted to talk to him about Bobby Lashley. So again, this idea that there could be a Hurt Business reunion here under Triple H when Vince McMahon no longer wanted to do the Hurt Business, very possible. The way to do it, you put all the members back together if they want Omos to be in the group, you know, just to kind of stand in the background and look mean. I'm okay with that. That probably would be the best role for him, quite frankly. But I'm down for a Hurt Business reunion if that's what this is leading to. After a break, Dolph Ziggler, Shelton Benjamin, and Cedric Alexander, speak of the Devils, Cedric Alexander, Shelton Benjamin, in the very next segment. They were licking their wounds over by the loading dock. They were just beaten up by who, we don't know. Kathy Kelly talks to Dolph Ziggler and wants to find out what's going on. Adam Pearce is there. He's on his phone. Boy, you know, he's on his phone a lot during these shows, isn't he? I feel like every time we see Adam Pearce, he's on his phone. You know, if I were on my cell phone at work as much as Adam Pearce is, I'd be fired. So Kathy Kelly talks to Dolph Ziggler, tries to find out what happened, and Ziggler simply says the bloodline happened. And that was the end of that. We had Anderson and Gallows representing the OC with AJ Styles and Mia Yim in their corner taking on Chad Gable and Otis. This was a very pro-Otis crowd in Iowa. I had to look it up for a moment. I forgot that Otis is from Minnesota. I thought maybe they were in his hometown or something. I guess they just really liked Otis in Des Moines. He was over. He tagged in. They cheered, but the Good Brothers cleared the ring of the Alpha Academy heading into the commercial break. Gable worked over Anderson after the break until Gallows tagged in. Otis, though, made a blind tag, and he leveled Gallows with a discus clothesline. Gable went for a moonsault. Gallows, though, avoided it, and the OC hit the Magic Killer for the win. After the match, the Bloodline jumped AJ Styles, Carl Anderson, Luke Gallows in the ring from behind. They cut to commercial. When they came back from break, the Bloodline was in the ring, and Adam Pearce was out at ringside. He came out with his security force, trying to coax them to the back and trying to get them to leave. Sami Zayn wanted to know why Adam was so upset. "You're the only one that's upset, bro. Everybody in the crowd loves us. They want us here." And they all cheered. They cheered for the Bloodline. He said that he and Roman Reigns would take out Kevin Owens and John Cena on December 30th. Pierce was about to send security into the ring, but Jay said, "Yeah, don't worry, because we're done here." And he led the crowd in their catchphrase. He said, "Everybody in the locker room, they the twos, and we the ones." And they left the ring, but on their way to the back, AJ Styles jumped Sami Zayn. They had to be separated. Backstage in the next segment, AJ was arguing with Adam Pearce, told him to give him any member of the Bloodline. "Give me Sami." Pearce said, "Fine, you got your match. Tonight it's going to be AJ Styles one-on-one with Sami Zayn." And it's funny, actually, because I just did a podcast. Was it this week's podcast? It was either this week or last week. I think it might have been Sunday. Yesterday. What day of the week is it? I don't even know what day of the week it is. I feel like I'm doing podcasts every day. I think it was yesterday's podcast. Somebody sent in a mailbag question, and they were asking me my thoughts on the OC feuding with the Bloodline, either in the gap between the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania, or possibly post-WrestleMania, coming out of the show. And I just, you know, got done talking about that, and here they just gave it away on a random episode of Raw. They just gave it away. I got to tell you, you know, now the OC has been back together for several weeks. And I actually think that the OC is bringing down AJ Styles even further into the abyss. Which is not to say that AJ was doing great stuff before Anderson and Gallows came back. It's been a while since AJ's been the focal point of anything. And I know that, you know, he's getting older and they're trying to focus on creating younger, newer stars on the show. I get that. Although, you know, a lot of the top names on the show are still the names that have been pushed for years, or someone like a Bobby Lashley, who I think is even older than AJ Styles is. But this is not doing AJ any good. You know, he's probably very happy to have his friends back. He's probably enjoying himself. I hope he is. But they're dead weight. That's what they are for AJ. They're dead weight. Anderson and Gallows are dead weight. And I don't really see this benefiting him in any meaningful way. Mia Yim just feels completely out of place in this group. I don't think she needs to be part of the OC. I'm failing so far to see where the benefit is for AJ Styles. Other than the last thing they had him doing on TV before these guys came back, AJ was getting his ass kicked by the Judgment Day every week. So he needed to even the odds, right? He brought his friends in. That's great. And they feuded with the Judgment Day, and now that feud is over. Does AJ Styles really need Anderson and Gallows? No, he doesn't. Byron Saxton was joined in the back for a sit-down interview with the Raw Women's Champion, Bianca Belair, and the number one contender for the Raw Women's title, Alexa Bliss. And Bianca told Alexa that she doesn't trust her. And Alexa said that she can't really explain what's been going on right now. She said Bray Wyatt abducted her. And he turned her into this dark, evil version of herself and then just left her. He just disappeared. And so she had abandonment issues. She went to therapy. All that did was turn her into this shell of a human being that she doesn't even recognize and she's still trying to work through. But her friendship with Bianca and Asuka, you know, was a positive thing for her. And Bianca said that she sympathizes with everything that she's been through, but she doesn't buy that she can't explain what happened last week and that Alexa has no idea what's been going on. So Alexa cut her off and said, "You're making this all about him. You're making this all about Bray Wyatt." And she said, "This isn't about him. This is about me." She says, "He's not a threat to you, but I am." And she says Bianca maybe forgot that she was winning championships way before Bianca walked through the door. And that's true. In fact, I believe Alexa Bliss is the first woman in WWE to win the Raw Women's Championship and the SmackDown Women's Championship. I believe she was the first one to do that. So Bianca told her, come do it again. Because Alexa said, I can do it again. And she said, come on, come do it again. Byron thanked them for taking the time, and Bianca stood up to go leave. And as soon as she stood up and turned around, Alexa reached over and she grabbed, there was a vase with flowers in it. And she grabbed the vase and she smashed it right over Bianca's head, knocked her out. And then Alexa walked off, and that was the end of the segment. I like this segment. I actually like this segment. It's the first time that we have heard Alexa mention Bray Wyatt since she came back and since Bray came back. Yeah, we've seen the logo behind her on the screen, and they've had the little glitches, and she'll fall into a trance for a few seconds every now and then. But this is the first time that she's talked about Bray Wyatt and the fact that he abducted her, and then he left, and she didn't know what to do. And so this is her first time really addressing it on TV. And the thing I actually liked about this segment and what they had Alexa talking about is they addressed how bland and boring Alexa has felt as this babyface since she came back to television, because she was gone for a while. And she came back, and they changed her music, and that probably has something to do with the CFO stuff. They changed Gargano's music too, but they changed her music, her personality changed, and she was just coming out there and smiling, and she comes out there with this music that makes her sound like fucking something out of a, you know, like a teen movie on Disney Channel. And it's like there's nothing there. There's no substance there. There's no real character development with her anymore. And so what they did here is, like in the dialogue, they basically have her blame the therapy sessions that she had to go to for why she has turned into, as she said, the shell of what she used to be. Basically acknowledging the fact that I'm not really myself. I haven't really gotten back to being myself. I lost my way. I don't know who I am. I don't know who I'm supposed to be. See, now her problem is if she would have used my code and she would have gone to BetterHelp instead of that fucking quack doctor they sent her to, she'd be a lot better off. We got the code in the description of the stream every single week. It's right down there. BetterHelp. I'm telling you, see, she fucked up. She went to the wrong therapist. But I like that. I like the fact that they have, in a roundabout way, acknowledged that, yeah, Alexa Bliss has been very boring and dull as far as her character since she came back. But here's why. Right now they have a storyline explanation for why that is. So I like that aspect of it. And I also liked her smashing the vase over Bianca's head at the end, because it gives her an edge that she hasn't had in a while. It's like the old Alexa Bliss. So they announced that the title match with Bianca and Alexa is going to take place in 2 weeks. You like that plug, huh? In 2 weeks, first Raw of 2023, January 2nd, in Bianca's hometown of Nashville, Tennessee, is when they are doing the match. This company is all about heat, right? We've talked about this before. I don't know if it'll be much different in that respect under Triple H than it was under Vince McMahon, but this company has always been about heat. And when they're in someone's hometown, 8 or 9 times out of 10, it's not going to go well for whoever is from that hometown. Now, Bianca, I think the last time they were in her hometown, won her match. Bianca has been kept stronger than most people on the roster not named Roman Reigns. Bianca, actually, right behind Roman Reigns, may be the most protected star in WWE since Charlotte Flair's been gone most of the year. So who knows with Bianca? Maybe she'll come out with a win. But typically, things don't go well when people end up in their hometown here in this company. So I don't see her losing the Raw Women's Championship on that first show of the year. I don't see her losing the championship until WrestleMania. you know, whoever it is that she wrestles, it should be Rhea. So I'm not saying there's going to be a title change, but I think that when that show is over, when their segment, when their match is over, even if Alexa loses, this is not going to be the end of the story with her and Alexa Bliss. I don't think that things are going to end well in Nashville for Bianca, and that would then lead to a rematch between the two, I think, at the Royal Rumble. Now, if they don't do a rematch, if it's one and done, I can't imagine it's one and done. But if they, for whatever reason, were not to do a rematch between them at the Royal Rumble, I suppose they could go with Rhea. I wouldn't do that. I mean, that would feel like a total rush job, right? Other than that one little tease, there was a backstage segment heading into War Games on TV where they kind of crossed paths with each other in the back. Otherwise, they've kept Rhea and Bianca apart. So to go into the new year and have 3 weeks to build up a match between the two would be insanely stupid. That should be the WrestleMania match. Rhea Ripley should win the Royal Rumble and challenge Bianca Belair for the Raw Women's Championship at WrestleMania. I know that Beth Phoenix is lurking in the shadows. I think they're going to want to do a match with Beth Phoenix and Rhea Ripley. So that could be at WrestleMania. It's going to be one or the other. That's what Rhea is going to be doing at Mania. If it were me, though, I would do Rhea and Bianca. Now, I know Bliss fan is very determined that Alexa Bliss should win the Raw Women's Championship when they have their match in a few weeks. And I'm not going to sit here and say that it's impossible to conceive that that might happen, but Bliss fan, I think you may be upset. We may have the mother of all meltdowns in the live chat in 2 weeks if Bianca Belair wins that match. So you'll want to be here for it. But it was time for the winner-take-all ladder match. It was Dexter Lumis and The Miz each putting their money on the line. They had two giant transparent bags of money hanging above the ring. Johnny Gargano came out with Lumis, and he was ringside for the match. I feel like Johnny's been more manager than wrestler in recent weeks. So Triple H is doing with Johnny Gargano what Vince McMahon wanted to do with Adam Cole. Only Gargano is managing Dexter Lumis. So the bell rang to start the match. Miz immediately rolled outside where ladders were set up. Lumis followed him. He ran Miz into one of the ladders. Lumis also grabbed a ladder. He wanted to slide it into the ring, but Miz dropkicked the ladder into him. A short time later, Lumis executed... I wrote... Jesus. I wish I could take a picture, but it's on my device here. I got my lines crossed. Yeah, in Ghostbusters, they say don't cross the streams. I got my streams crossed. I wrote here in my notes, I meant to say Lumis executed a superplex. I wrote Lumis executed the Miz. Now, I mean, I know that's kind of his gimmick, right? That he's kind of a serial killer. That's where his name comes from. That's where the Dexter name comes from. This would have been a short match had he done that, but no. Lumis did not execute the Miz. He executed a superplex from a ladder bridge that he set up across the middle rope. Miz was down in the corner a little bit later on. Lumis ran a ladder into his tiny balls. Lumis then set up a ladder and made a play for the cash, but Miz rushed up the ladder and cut him off. And they tipped the ladder over. Both men crashed to the mat, heading into a commercial break. I see a sea of green. See all my channel members here in the live chat. I love all the green. Let's see some of those emojis, by the way, that you have access to. There we go. I see the skulls. There you go. So later on, Miz put Lumis inside one of the ladders outside. He started slamming the ladder down, slamming it shut on him multiple times. Miz threw another ladder, and he threw various chairs onto the ladder that Lumis was trapped in. Then he picked up one of the announcer chairs. There's those big announce chairs with the soft padding on them. They're really heavy. And he just hurled one through the air. And it just landed right on top of the ladder. I'm sure that didn't feel too good. I saw that chair go flying. I go, oh, shit. I hope that doesn't land on his face. I mean, I know he had the ladder over him to protect him, but geez. See, those chairs, you know, the chair I'm in right now, it's actually a gaming chair, but, like, this chair is so fucking heavy. This chair, I don't know how much this chair would, this has to be at least 100 pounds, or close to it. So these chairs, these announcer chairs, are very heavy. So I kind of held my breath when I saw that flying in through the air onto Loomis. Crowd chanted for tables. They wanted tables. And so Miz went under the ring, and he started to pull out a table, and everybody cheered, yay, tables, yay! And then the Miz put the table back under the ring and basically looked at the crowd and said, fuck you. And you know why? Because the Miz, say what you want to about him, he's a good heel. Great heat. Because why would he give the fans what they want? He's the heel. They boo him every week. Don't give the people what they want. Don't give the fans what they want. Fuck the fans. So I like that. It's good heat. Miz attacked Gargano, and he ran him into the barricade. Then he threw him over the barricade, dumped him into the crowd. Miz turned, and he spotted that Loomis was back up, and he was staring at him. And like a killer, like a fucking Michael Myers or something. This guy just keeps coming back, right? Loomis then hit a Uranage onto a ladder, and the fans still wanted tables. So Loomis cleared off the announce desk, and he laid Miz across the table. He dragged one of the ladders over. He made his way up, and Loomis came off the ladder with a flying leg drop. Miz, though, moved, and Loomis crashed through the announce desk. Miz then crawled back into the ring, and this was it right here. This was his opening. This might be his last shot. Loomis is down. Miz is in the ring. He sets the ladder up. He starts climbing. He got his hands on it. He got his hands on the cash, but Loomis got back in the ring, and he met him up top. Loomis shoved Miz off the ladder, and clearly he had the match won. When all of a sudden, someone showed up, and that someone was Bronson Reed, the former NXT North American champion, New Japan Pro Wrestling and Impact Wrestling star Jonah, back with WWE. He got into the ring. He yanked Loomis off the ladder. He ran him into the ladder head first. And then Reed headed up top. He hit the tsunami splash. We had a great call. One of the more fun calls that we've done. Myself, JD, and the good professor in House of Glory. We had Jonah in for our world title tournament. Several months ago, he was competing in the tournament for the House of Glory World Championship. And we you know, in unison, at once, did the tsunami splash call. Seeing him in person, I mean, you look at him on TV, he's a big guy, right? You see him in person, and, you know, I got to meet him briefly. He's a big guy. So for him to come, one of the things I used to love in NXT, and I would praise him for it, because he is a big guy. He comes off the top rope with that splash, and it looks devastating. Just the way he lands, it's a great-looking finish. You know, it's a very basic finish in many ways, but it's a great-looking finish. So, anyway, we got the tsunami splash here. Then he went, and he brought Miz back into the ring. He helped him up the ladder, and the Miz retrieved the cash, and he won the match. All that purse money now belongs to the Miz. So from beating Okada in the G1 climax to being the Miz's bodyguard, Bronson Reed is back. Tommaso Ciampa getting hurt when he did clearly threw a wrench in their plans. And so he has been replaced by Bronson Reed. Bronson Reed now is going to watch the Miz's back. The Miz got himself a new best friend. And as far as the partnership, look, is it going to work? I don't see this as being a long-term thing. I think it's fine. You know, I think it's a way to, you know, introduce him to the main roster. I think that he could be for Miz in a way what Solo Sikoa has been for the Bloodline. He could just be that ass-kicking enforcer. I don't want to see him on TV doing comedy like Miz and Morrison used to do with the, what they call the drip stick. And all. I mean, we've seen Miz and do some really corny, lame comedy shit on TV. I would rather have Reed be there kind of as the stoic, ass-kicking enforcer. And I think that could work. And then eventually, he'll go his own way. So I'm okay with them if this is their way of introducing him and they think, okay, maybe he's not a great promo, so they'll have Miz do most of the talking. I think there's something to that. Then I think that's fine. And I want to address this because, again, I saw it in the live chat. I saw it on Twitter. People saying, oh, you know, he came out and he got no reaction. The crowd was silent. There were crickets. Nobody knew. Nobody cared, right? No reaction for Bronson Reed. I don't know why some of you think that he would get a reaction. This man never worked a single match on Monday Night Raw. He never worked a single match on SmackDown. So why do you think that him coming in, an NXT star who hasn't even appeared on NXT in over a year, he got fired over a year ago is when he got his release. Why would you think that he would show up all of a sudden on Monday Night Raw in front of a main roster audience, a casual audience, whatever you want to call it? What reaction were you expecting? Welcome back? Holy shit? This is awesome? What exactly were you expecting when he came out? I think this is one of the problems. People don't think before they speak. They just say stupid shit. It just kind of leaks out of their mouth. What were you expecting from this crowd? I'm genuinely curious what reaction people were anticipating when Bronson Reed came out here. A guy who was on NXT and has not even been on that show in over a year. Give me a fucking break. He came out. He laid out Dexter Lumis. He got to hit him with his finish. If you're going to introduce somebody, that sounds like a pretty good way to try to get him over to me. Big 400-pound guy coming off the top rope. I could think of worse ways to debut somebody. I don't see this as the same thing as Tegan Knox, for example, right? Tegan Knox actually had a short run on the main roster. Even that was not a very long run. But she had a main roster run for a while. She was in line to get a women's tag team title match before she got fired. Actually, they moved her over to Raw first, and they never used her on Raw, and then she got fired. Bronson Reed never got called up to the main roster, so I don't want to hear, oh my God, he got no reaction. This is terrible. He's such a fucking failure. Are you confusing him with someone else? So before you shit all over him, give the guy a chance. If you've never seen him work before, or you're not really all that familiar with his work, or maybe you weren't even overly impressed with him, now he's going to get a shot on the main roster. Before you shit all over the guy, give him a chance. Maybe he'll get over. Maybe he'll surprise you. Maybe a year from now, he'll be getting the reactions you were expecting him to get tonight when he came out. He is an athletic super heavyweight. That's what he is. He's a super heavyweight. He's got agility. He can move around. He can do stuff off the top rope. They don't have too many guys on the roster that look like him. Otis, right? Otis is a little stockier, but yeah, there aren't too many guys that look like him. Just like there aren't too many guys that look like Omos. But, I mean, my God. I mean, Omos is limited in what he can do. So, thankfully, we don't see too much of him. He's not somebody who you want to be overexposing. But he is a super heavyweight who never got a fair shot. He had a blink-and-you'll-miss-it run on NXT as the North American champion. When they put the title on him, people were very happy, right? He was over as a babyface in NXT. This was during the pandemic era shows, so a lot of those shows had no live crowd, but they started letting people into the PC. But you know, again, he was successful in NXT, but his run as a champion there was very brief. Now, why was his run in NXT as the North American champion so brief? Because he thought, and Triple H thought, that he was being called up to the main roster. When they would call people up to have dark matches before SmackDown, a lot of those people would end up being called up to the main roster. He was having dark matches on the main roster before SmackDown. And the belief was, he's on the verge of being called up to one of the two shows. And so, as a kind of a fail-safe, they said, we should take the championship off of him if he's going to be called up. Well, then he didn't get called up because Vince McMahon didn't like him. He saw nothing in him. Same thing with Dakota Kai, by the way. She had dark matches as well. Aaliyah. They called up Aaliyah. Vince McMahon called up Aaliyah, but not Dakota Kai. So Bronson Reed never got called up. And then, to rub salt in the wound, he got fired. Triple H went to bat for him and told people, whether it was Vince or whoever, this guy is ready. He's main roster ready for Raw and SmackDown. So what do you think Triple H thought when he found out that Bronson Reed got shit canned? I'm sure he wasn't very happy about that. But that's why his run as the North American champion was so brief. So, you know, his cut was one of the more puzzling ones. We could talk about Bray Wyatt. We can talk about certain names that were cut that just made you go, what? Can't believe they let go of that person. He was on my list of one of those puzzling, like, I can't believe they did that cuts. Because he was never even given a chance. Was never even given a chance to go to Raw or SmackDown and try to get over. Again, he's a guy that you don't find very many people who look like him. So he's got that unique aspect to him, at least, right? It makes him stand out. He wasn't a terrible promo. I wouldn't say that he was the best promo in NXT, but it's not like he can't talk. You know, so it never made any sense to me. We can poke fun at Triple H. I know some people are already doing that again, calling him Triple Con, and, you know, he's going on a signing frenzy. But this is one of the better ones. And as I said at the beginning of the stream, I look at this as Triple H righting a wrong that was done. He never should have been cut in the first place. This was a good move. This was a good signing by Triple H to bring him back. And I'm sure for him, you know, he had a good thing developing with New Japan. I mentioned he beat Okada in the G1. But there was a role for him in New Japan as the monster. And I think he would have gotten over very well in that role. I don't know what they were paying him. Did it come down to money? Money, it probably was a big part of it. But I also think it was just the timing of it. I think he knew that he had unfinished business in WWE. And it was just going to eat away at him if he never went back, take a chance on himself and see if he could actually be successful and get over. So when the opportunity was presented to him and Triple H took over, and I'm sure Triple H probably reached out to him months ago, I'm sure it wasn't an easy decision for him to make. He had a good thing going with New Japan. Do I give that up? Do I stay in Japan for another year and build myself up even more and then go back? And I talked about this at the time when the rumors first started popping up weeks and weeks ago that there was WWE interest in him. And I said, you know, I would love to see him stick it around in New Japan for a while and really get himself over, but there may not be another opportunity for him to go back to WWE. If Triple H wants him in now, who's to say that a year from now, Triple H is still going to have that same interest in him? Right? It's one of those now or never situations. So if he has an opportunity to go back there now, take the chance, take the opportunity. But I'm sure it wasn't an easy decision for him to make. And I hope that, you know, it works out for him this time, because I'm sure he does feel like he has unfinished business. We had AJ Styles one-on-one with Sami Zayn. They had a good match, these two. I know that's going to be a surprise to many of you, but they had a good match. Styles was out there alone since Anderson and Gallows were being tended to in the trainer's room. Sami hit a great-looking brainbuster to AJ. Styles came back with a Pele kick. Zayn executed an... is that word again? He executed an exploder suplex and then set up in the opposite corner. He went for the Huluva kick. AJ cut him off, rolled him into a calf crusher. Sami was able to get to the ropes to break the hold. Here comes Solo Sikoa, walking down the staircase through the crowd like he's a member of the Shield. He comes down to the ring, and this distracted AJ briefly. Sami got the better of him. Styles battled back. AJ set up for the phenomenal forearm, but he opted instead to go after Sikoa at ringside. Zayn went to the floor. He got run into the announce desk by AJ. The referee was distracted when Sami got back into the ring, and that allowed Solo Sikoa to hit AJ with a Samoan spike. In the ring, Sami caught Styles with a blue thunderbomb, and he pinned him. Yes! Sami Zayn won a match with the Blue Thunder Bomb. I could not believe my eyes. I had a smile on my face. Oh, I've talked about this before, how I wish that he would win some matches with the Blue Thunder Bomb. And he went out there and he beat AJ Styles with the Blue Thunder Bomb. And here's the crazy thing about that, okay? The last time that Sami Zayn won a match with the Blue Thunder Bomb was the only other time ever in WWE that he won with the Blue Thunder Bomb. And do you know who he beat with the Blue Thunder Bomb the last time? AJ Styles. How crazy is that? That was back in, I think it was, God, what year was that? 2018, I think it was. They had a match on SmackDown. And if I remember, I think Sammy hit the Helluva Kick first and then hit the Blue Thunder Bomb and won with the Blue Thunder Bomb instead of the Helluva Kick. But yeah, it was AJ Styles about 4 years ago. So here we are again, right? There's something about AJ Styles, I guess. How's that for consistency? I wasn't a fan of another distraction finish, but I love that he won with that move. And they did have to find a way for Sammy to win because Sammy is going into a very big match next week on TV with Roman Reigns against Kevin Owens and John Cena. And so Sami Zayn should not be losing before that match. This was their way of getting him a win. Instead of him beating AJ clean, you use Solo Sikoa as the mechanism by which Sammy can come and steal the win away from him. And so that's what he did. After the match, Adam Pearce came out with a microphone and yelled at Sammy, but nothing really came out of it. He and Solo went to the back. Iowa's own Seth Rollins was out next for a promo. Much fanfare. They were in Iowa. They were in Des Moines. Of course, I think they had a special shirt made for him tonight that they sold exclusively at the building. So, of course, he was the big baby face on this show. Yeah, Beowulf says, sometimes setup moves look great, even better than finishers, and they get kicked out of. I've put that Blue Thunder Bomb over a lot. I just think when Sammy hits it, it's just a great fucking visual. It's a great move. It's similar to the Deep Six that Baron Corbin uses. Yeah, sometimes Corbin will hit that Deep Six. He'll get those quick rotations, and it looks great, right? But the Blue Thunder Bomb has always been my favorite move of Sammy's. So it's good to see him win a match with it. So Rollins welcomed the fans to Monday Night Rollins. He mentioned the bloodline running roughshod tonight, and he reminded Roman Reigns that Mondays don't belong to him, they belong to, and he let the crowd say his name. Austin Theory interrupted. Rollins is going to challenge Theory for the United States Championship on Raw in 2 weeks, the same night that Bianca is defending against Alex Riley. So Theory said that he remembered Rollins saying that the U.S. title is the main championship on Raw. Theory said that can mean only one thing. He said the champ is here. And Theory said his era is forever. This is just the beginning. He said Rollins would pass the torch to him whether he likes it or not. So Rollins responded and said, well, Merry Christmas to you too, kid. And he said that he warned Theory to keep his cool or he would end up like Bobby Lashley. Rollins questioned why Theory is so angry when he has so many things going for him. And Theory questioned how many times Rollins has fumbled the ball just like the Bears. Uh-oh, he went after the Bears. Now, for those who don't know, for those who don't follow Seth Rollins on social media, he is a big Chicago Bears fan. And I will say that for a guy whose team is 3-11 this season with a 7-game losing streak, he smiles an awful lot. He's in a much better mood than I would be if I was a Chicago Bears fan. So I have to say that. Theory spoke about Rollins going to the mountaintop and said that once he falls off the peak, he will go home and come to the realization that he is only the third most successful member of the Shield. Ouch. So that was a tough burn there for Seth Rollins. And it's true. Rollins is the third most successful member of the Shield. I see no lies in what Theory said. Rollins got hot at that comment. He said Theory has it wrong. He says he is the damn mountaintop. And he dared Theory to show him what kind of man he really is. Jimmy and Jey Uso, they popped up at ringside at that point, and Rollins said, hey, we've got company, and he told Theory, let's deal with this later. So he was standing side by side now with Theory, and he was fixing for a fight. Theory started to take his jacket off like he was going to stand shoulder to shoulder with Seth Rollins. I figured he was going to attack Rollins, but instead of attacking him, he put his jacket back on, he took his U.S. title, and he bailed. And he left Rollins to the wolves to fend for himself, two against one. Usos got into the ring. It was basically a handicap situation. Kevin Owens' music played. He made his entrance to a big reaction. Jimmy went to ringside, took a swing at Owens. He ducked it and ran him into the barricade. Owens entered the ring. He got attacked by Jey. Rollins pulled Jey off. He cleared him out of the ring. Adam Pearce and various officials ran out. They escorted the Usos to the back. Rollins told Owens, oh, it's nice to see you again. And Rollins asked Owens, are you thinking what I'm thinking? And Owens said, yep, I think Des Moines wants to see the two of us kick their asses. And so he laid down the challenge to a tag team match later. Adam Pearce then made the match official. I thought the back and forth with Rollins and Theory was very good. Good hype for their match in 2 weeks. Owens and Rollins, obviously, they were best friends for a while on TV, so the crowd liked seeing them back together, if only for one night. Becky Lynch was in the back, and she cut a very strong promo here, I thought. It was just her. There was nobody interviewing her. She was looking directly into the camera while she was walking slowly down the hallway. She said Bayley has been playing cat and mouse since she came back. She said that she wants the best version of Bayley, and the best version of Bayley is the solo version. So she didn't want to have to worry about her damage control friends. She said that if you're going to stab her in the back, then at least be the one holding the knife. And she said that whether it's one-on-one or one-on-three, she would die on her own sword. I thought this was very good. And so for the first time in almost 4 years, I believe it was early 2000. Actually, I have it right here. I wrote it down. Hold on a second. Where is it? April 30th. There it is. April 30th, 2019. So almost 4 years ago was the last time we saw Becky Lynch and Bayley in the ring together one-on-one. It was long enough ago that Bayley still had her ponytail. Or was it pigtails? Maybe she had pigtails. But anyway, she was in full babyface mode. This was before she had the soccer mom haircut, so that's how far back you'd have to go to find a singles match between Becky and Bayley Lynch. Or Bayley Lynch. I just created a new wrestler, Bayley Lynch. Remember Conan O'Brien used to have those segments where he would fuse two celebrities together? If they had a child, that's what it would look like. I need a Bayley Lynch mashup. Becky Lynch and Bayley. There we go. I knew I'd get it right. I'm into the eggnog a little too early here. I need to pace myself. Lynch was in control when Bayley tripped her up near the ropes. Lynch caught Io Sky attempting to slap her, and Becky set up for her manhandle slam on the apron. Bayley avoided it and slammed Lynch's face on the middle rope. Becky avoided a belly-to-Bayley suplex attempt, but her own attempt at an inverted DDT was successful, only got her two. Becky draped Bayley over the middle rope, went for the leg drop from the ropes, but Bayley moved, and Bayley put her down with a belly-to-Bayley suplex for a near fall. I just created a new meme. And Maze said, that sounds horrifying. I don't know. Bayley Lynch? It doesn't sound horrifying to me. You take the best qualities of both, and you merge them together. So, what is the best quality that Bayley has? And I already know what you guys in the chat are going to say. What is the best quality that Bayley has, and what is the best quality that Becky Lynch has? And you just take the best of both, and you fuse them together. I don't see what's so horrifying about that. Becky stuffed a rose plant attempt and came back with a diamond dust stunner from the middle rope, which Corey Graves acknowledged by that name. Got a near fall out of it. She used the diamond dust actually on Bianca in their rematch at SummerSlam. So this is not the first time that she's used that move. Becky went for her finish. Io Sky and Dakota Kai, though, grabbed Bayley's legs to block it. Lynch got him with a baseball slide And at that point, the referee ejected Damage Control, the other members of Damage Control, from ringside. The referee then... what did I say? I told you guys. I said I know exactly what you guys were going to say. So you take the best of both and you merge them together, and you guys did not let me down. So Bailey hit a distracted Becky from behind and put her down with the rose plant, and she pinned Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch does not get pinned very often. She got pinned a few times by Bianca, but Becky Lynch is not doing jobs all the time on TV. So this felt like a big win. It's a big deal for Bailey here to get this win over Becky Lynch. It was more distractions and interference, which they rely on way too heavily on this show. Way too much. But at least here, it'll lead to a rematch, and that's going to keep Becky occupied heading into the Royal Rumble, which means it'll keep her out of the Women's Championship picture, which for now is a good thing. And this was a very good match to boot. So Bailey needed a win. She needed a big win like that. She had no luck against Bianca. She had no luck at War Games. Her team lost. They were losers. So Bailey needed a big win. She got a big win here tonight. Backstage, Owens approached Rollins, who was getting ready for his match in the main event. He was putting on his wrist tape, and they agreed that they were a great team in the past. And Rollins wondered, you know, hey, why did we ever stop? How come we stop being friends? And Owens reminded him that he tried to steal his WrestleMania spot with Steve Austin away from him. And Rollins wasn't sure that was true. Owens said that he was 98% sure. Rollins figured there was a 2% chance then that Owens was wrong, but Owens was just trying to be nice. He said, I'm 100% sure. That's exactly what happened. Owens said that it was all moot because tonight they had a common goal, which was to take out the Usos. Rollins was happy with that, and he laughed. And after Rollins left, Owens muttered to himself, still got that laugh, huh? West Coast James. That's our boy Hollywood Herrera, I believe. Sound off legend. Dropping the peach. Dropping the peach emoji. I know exactly what he's talking about. Rollins and Kevin Owens against the Usos. That was our main event. Usos took control before a break 2 minutes into the match. Rollins made a fiery comeback after that. He took out both Usos with a flying crossbody. Owens tagged in, hit Jimmy with a frog splash for two. Jay took out Rollins with a super kick outside the ring. Jimmy, meanwhile, got his knees up when Owens went for a swanton attempt. Solo Sikoa came back out again. How many appearances was that for Solo Sikoa on this show? He opened the show in that backstage beating. Then there was a second backstage beating. Then he came out during the AJ Styles match. And he was out there actually for the segment after the Bloodline attacked the OC. And then he came back out again here for this match. That's a lot of Solo Sikoa. And you know what I like about that? Solo Sikoa doesn't say a fucking word. All these appearances, it's not like he's coming out there and he's talking us to death. He comes out there to do one thing and one thing only, and that's kick ass, which is why people like him. So here he is again. Hops the barricade, but this time Anderson and Gallows are there to attack him. Jay dove out onto the pile at ringside. Rollins followed with a dive of his own. Everybody dives here on this show. Sikoa charged Rollins, who ducked, and Solo ran himself into the ring post. You remember when Roman Reigns feuded with Braun Strowman? And they had some really good matches together, but the thing about their feud is that Braun Strowman had a tendency to run into things. So he would run himself into the ring post. He would run himself, I know once at least, into the side of a truck. There was once he ran himself into the back of an ambulance. That's all he does. He runs. It's the Strowman Express. And he comes running in, and then boom, he would knock himself out. That's what Solo Sikoa did here. He ran right into the ring post, and he knocked himself out. There he is. There he is, everybody. There's the Strowman Express. The clown car has arrived here. You didn't expect that here on the Monday Night Raw review now, did you? Because he's a SmackDown guy. See, you expect the unexpected here on these streams. You got snow and you got clowns. You don't know what you're going to get when you tune into these streams. You have no idea. That's why you're all here. So, Rollins put Jey Uso, and then he ran himself out of WWE. Rollins put Jey Uso down with a stomp on the floor as Rollins was resting up against the barricade. Austin Theory came up from behind him and clobbered him right in the back of the head with the United States Championship. So that took Seth out of this match. In the ring, Jimmy went up top. Owens avoided whatever it was that Jimmy was going for. Jimmy blocked the stunner. Owens tried for a pop-up powerbomb, but Jimmy leapt over him. And Jimmy charged Owens, who ducked a clothesline. Jimmy ran the ropes, and this time, Owens got the pop-up powerbomb, and he got the pin. And Kevin Owens wins the match for his team. We don't have new champions because it was non-title. But since they pinned the champions, they should get a title match. That would make sense. So like Sammy beating AJ earlier in the show, Owens is teaming with John Cena next week, right? You couldn't have Kevin Owens come in here and lose. So he came in here tonight and he won the match for his team. Owens was celebrating his win when Sami Zayn entered the ring behind him and he stopped dead in his tracks when Owens turned and spotted him. Owens removed his wrist tape. Sami just kind of smiled. He left the ring. The slow burn. I love it. That was the best Raw in weeks. I thought that was a very good show. It was not the best Raw of the year or anything like that. I'm not going to overreact. It was not the best Raw of the Triple H era. But it was a vast improvement over a lot of the shows that we've had really over the last, I'd say, 4 or 5 weeks. This is a very good episode. Lots of focus also on the December 30th SmackDown and the first Raw of the new year, which is coming up on January 2nd. Next Monday is a best of show. It is a best of episode of Raw, which means no stream. I get a reprieve for, unless I come up with something else to do. But as far as Raw goes, I get a reprieve for a week. So probably no stream next week. Let's take a look at the Twitter poll. See what you guys thought of the show, if you agree with me. That's a better score than Raw's been getting, I think, in some recent weeks. 60%, maybe not as high as I thought, but 60% thumbs up. Got 23% thumbs in the middle and 16.7% thumbs down. You can vote at Solomonster is the place to go to vote in all these polls. You follow me on there, too. I don't know why you're not following me. You better follow me. I will lead you. I will lead you to the promised land. I will lead you into the Super Chats. That's where I'm going to lead you. Right into the Super Chats. That's what we're going to do. And we're going to be doing Be the Booker as well. Because you guys smashed the like goal for tonight. The like goal was 350 and we are already approaching 450. So let's hit 500 before we're done here. Alrighty, let's see here. We are going to open things up with Be Calm, See Clearly. $5 Super Chat. I'm depressed. My boss embarrasses us at work. I stood up for myself. Then she said she's going to get her husband to fight me. I told HR, so I'm here tonight. Well, since you can't say it, I'll say it for you. Fuck your boss. First of all, your boss sounds like a real asshole. And I'm sorry that happened. So hopefully we can help take your mind off that here for a few hours. Deep Delicious Chicken with Flavor. $5 Super Chat. The World Cup Madness is finally over. I know, Ricochet won. I'm so excited. I'm back like Eric Bischoff's theme song. We'll all have turkey on Christmas. Congrats to Messi AR. Messy AR? What is Messy AR? Is that some kind of augmented reality or something? Dr. Dakota Scorpio, 4 years later and Raw still sucks. I'll be back later. Well, we know somebody wasn't a fan of Raw tonight. Groovy Goose with the $4.99. The Nine Lives of Vince McMahon. More like the nine episodes of Dark Side of the Ring. Solid Monster. Happy Holidays. That's exactly what it was. It was. It really was. The nine episodes. I like that. The nine episodes of Dark Side of the Ring. Basically what they did. They recycled clips from all the Dark Side of the Ring episodes that had any mention of Vince McMahon at all. And they called it a documentary. So AR is Argentina. And Messi is a soccer player. Oh, you're going to get in trouble for that. It's football. Messi is a football player for Argentina. Okay, thank you. I have not been... After the U.S. was eliminated, I stopped paying attention to the World Cup. And no, it is not AR Fox. King Bling Blah, buzzer or bell? Hurt Business against the Bloodline. I'd be down for that. I think that could be fun. Deep Delicious Chicken and Turkey with Flake. $5 Super Chat. I have a confession to make. This can't wait until Wednesday. I may have lost my passion for AEW wrestling. Maybe I'm just desensitized by it. So he has lost his passion, he says, for AEW. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I hope you'll still join on the streams, though. Hopefully you haven't lost your passion for the streams and for being a part of our little community. He also says, just to be clear, I do not hate MJF or any of the wrestlers from AEW. The show is not fun for me anymore. No, that's fine. Nothing wrong with that. Some people like it. Some people fall out of it. Some people come back to it. A lot of people said that for years about Raw. And they came back when Vince McMahon left and they hung around and some people are already bored by Raw. Queen Fire Panda with the $10 Super Chat. Hey, Fire Panda, coming in hot. Hear me out. It's the Royal Rumble, and we are at number 30. The buzzer sounds, and out comes the best wrestler to ever come from Ring of Honor, Cheeseburger, who wins and beats Roman Reigns. Fire Panda, you know, I thought I had too much eggnog, but I think Fire Panda has basically consumed enough eggnog probably to land him in the hospital, so you might want to get some rest. One and only with the $4.99. Do you think the fans could turn on Cody in the Royal Rumble if he is in the final two with Sammy or Seth Rollins, and what could be done to prevent it? How about not having him in the ring with Sammy or Seth Rollins at the end? There you go. I don't think it's going to be an issue, but if you're so worried about it, then don't have him in the ring in the final two with those guys. Get rid of those guys before. That's all. Problem solved. I don't think it's a case where if Sammy gets dumped out or Seth gets dumped out, the people are going to boo Cody out of the building. I don't see that happen. Stone Norton, $5 Super Chat. Got to send some love on my first day of PTO and my 27th birthday. Thank you for all that you do. Stone Norton, thank you very much. I appreciate the support. I'm glad that you're here with us tonight. King Bling Blah, $1.99. Who is the most likely Forbidden Door Royal Rumble entrant? I think we could very well have IWGP Women's Champion Kairi in the Women's Royal Rumble. I think it's possible. Chris Miner with the $9.99. If wrestlers celebrated Festivus from Seinfeld, who do you think would have the best airing of grievances and feats of strength? I still think Frank Costanza would have MJF and Roman beat. I don't know about the feats of strength, but you're going to have the airing of grievances. I still got to go with Jim Cornette. Imagine Jim Cornette on Festivus. How about that? Tyler the Ghost says, thank you. Now Jingle Bells is going to be stuck in my head for the rest of the night while I am at work. You are truly a monster. Well, I live up to my reputation. What can I say? Jesus. Jesus Gomez with the $10 super. Maybe it is Jesus. Have you seen the recent Teddy Hart documentary? Just began watching it, and the dude seriously weirds me out. I saw a little bit of the first episode that started airing on USA a few weeks ago. I think they only showed the first episode. But no, I have not watched it yet. I have been too busy to occupy my time with Teddy Hart, but I do hope to watch it soon. Ian G., what do you think of Jeremy Borash as Raw play-by-play, or possibly a current wrestler eventually transitions into the role after hanging up the boots? Yeah, I mean, if there's somebody who I think has a good voice for the role, I mean, I think that would be fine. Not as a play-by-play. I don't see any, I mean, I can't see any of the current wrestlers that I can think of as the play-by-play guy. Jeremy Borash as play-by-play. It's been a while since he's done commentary. You know, he wasn't bad at it. Kevin Patrick just is not a, he's not a good fit for this show as the play-by-play guy. So if they wanted to try somebody new out for the role, not that I'm auditioning for it, but I think that would be fine. If they wanted to give somebody like Borash a shot. I don't know that Borash wants it. I mean, he seems to be content doing behind-the-scenes stuff with NXT, or maybe even for Triple H on the main roster. I don't know where Borash is spending most of his time these days, but he's behind the scenes. I know he does a lot of vignette-type stuff. Slick Disaster 26. I like that Triple H is giving people a chance that did not get one, but I wish WWE would do more intro promos because these returns reactions have been flat. And I agree on that, and I've said that before about some of these returns, that some of these people would have benefited from video packages. But again, when it comes to someone like Bronson Reed, and not everybody is going to get a video package. I would like to see more video package introductions for certain people, but I don't think everybody should get a video package. There are certain people who, if they want to have an impactful debut, they show up, they beat the hell out of somebody, kind of like what Bronson Reed did tonight. I think that's fine. But like before, what I was talking about is people saying, oh, he got no reaction. Like he's already a failure. Like people were supposed to know who he was. These are the same people who probably are always talking about how, well, Raw's a casual audience. They don't watch that NXT shit. That's for the marks. Okay, well, when one of the NXT stars shows up on Raw and people don't know who they are, oh, they didn't get a reaction. Anti-M Bishop 07 with the 1992 Ric Flair Super Chat. A pretty good hog show this past weekend. Raw was okay. What a year for pro wrestling. 2022 has been wild as fuck. 2023 has me nervous. And Dark Asuka, give us what we want. Yeah, Asuka has gone back to Japan, probably for the holidays. I think that when she comes back, I don't know if she'll be dressed up as Kana, but clearly she's undergoing some sort of character transformation or change of some kind, so... yes, I think we will have an edgier Asuka when she comes back. But yeah, the Hog Show on Saturday was good, very good. The women's title match on that show, if you didn't see it, it's up on Fight. Replay is up on Fight.tv. We had a women's championship match with Masha Slamovich. And if you do watch Impact, you've seen her there. Or if you're just, you know, a fan of independent wrestling, she's been all over the place. She came in to challenge our champion, Violet, for the title. They had a very good match. But we had a bunch of great matches. The Briscoes, you know, we saw what they did with FTR Final Battle a couple weeks ago. They came in and dropped the House of Glory tag team titles, 2 out of 3 falls, to Main Event, who have been a mainstay in HOG for many years and you know, worked their asses off to get there. And so that was a... very cool thing to be able to call that match in the main event. Main event in the main event. So there's going to be some very interesting things going on in House of Glory heading into the new year. I will tell you that. Look forward to seeing you all at the venue. February 3rd, come on out. It's going to be a Friday night, so there won't be a SmackDown stream that night, but that's our next show. Slim Yoshi. It's nice that Raw went out with a bang, since next week is a recap episode. Also, Solomonster, since Edge is apparently going to end his feud with Balor and the Judgment Day at the Rumble, what does he do at Mania? That's an interesting question. About a year ago, I would have been kind of rooting for a Kevin Owens-Edge match, and then Owens ended up getting a much better spot at WrestleMania. Because Owens and Edge have not feuded. And I think that could be a WrestleMania match one day. It's not going to be a WrestleMania match this year. So then what do you do with Edge if Edge does wrestle at Mania? Because Brock Lesnar is probably already accounted for, probably against Lashley or Gunther. Owens is going to be occupied. You know, assuming we have babyface Edge, I'm just thinking about the Raw roster. I don't know. I haven't really given much thought to who Edge could be getting in the ring with. And Edge is kind of winding down. It's possible that as early as later next year, he might actually, you know, call it quits. But I don't know. I don't know who would be the best opponent for him at the Rumble, or rather at Mania. Yeah, they could do something with maybe Edge and Karrion Kross. Right, that could be a possibility, maybe. Edge and LA Knight. I mean, these are SmackDown people. But it's not as if they've always adhered to the rules of the brand split. I think there might be better options for him, frankly, on SmackDown than there would be on Raw. Yeah, maybe something like Edge and LA Knight. I could see that being a good pairing. Thomas Rondon with the $10 Super Chat. I'm glad Bronson Reed is back, but why the hell with the Miz? He should have been part of the bloodline as a distant relative. He fits and they can use him. Have a great holiday, Sound Off Universe. It's just kind of redundant. You know, they already have somebody in Solo Sikoa who can be that silent ass-kicking enforcer. They don't need him. There's no need for him in the bloodline. You know, would I put him with The Miz? No, that's kind of their default thing to fall back on. But I don't hate it the way that you do, but I also don't think that putting him in the bloodline was the answer. Oh, we got, look at this, Mr. GMB is back. Bigger overall package, Mello or Starks, and why? Both very talented. If I had to choose one over the other, I would go there. Down goes Disco. Down goes Disco. I'm sorry, I have to pause to appreciate the great super chat whenever that pops up on my screen. Ricky Starks, I think, has the potential to be a world champion. The guy has charisma for days. Carmelo Hayes has charisma too, but Ricky Starks has it in a different way. In the ring, Carmelo Hayes is a better wrestler than Ricky Starks. More dynamic in the ring. So I would give him the edge from an in-ring perspective. But I think as far as promos and as far as just overall charisma and personality, total package, when I kind of look at them, I would give the edge to Ricky Starks. So not by much, but I would go Starks over Carmelo Hayes. GCC305 with the $10 Super Chat. Hey, Solomonser, I've been going through some life challenges that have tested my mental strength or health. But as I am here at work tonight, working overnights, I'm glad I have you to listen to so I can get away. Thank you. Well, GCC, you always have a home here. You know that. And I'm sorry to hear that you're going through that. I hate hearing that, especially around the holidays. But you know that you got friends in all of us here, brother, so nothing but love for GCC. SSJ4 Omega, what's your favorite wrestling DVD? Happy holidays. I love the Rise and Fall of ECW that they put out many years ago. But as far as my all-time favorite wrestling DVD, my God, I'm trying to think of all the documentaries that I still have on DVD that I bought. There were a lot of great ones, you know. Obviously, as a Bret Hart fan, I was a big fan of the Bret Hart 3-disc collection that, you know, they put out many years ago. And the Ric Flair one, too, the Ric Flair 3-disc collection. I have that up in my collection as well. Favorite overall DVD, though? I would go with the Bret Hart one. It's just, there's so many great matches on there. Rizzo, $10 Super Chat. I had to pull over two sound-offs ago because I was laughing so hard about Jim Ross blowing the wrestler who dropped a cigarette on his nether regions. That was Leroy McGurk. And yes, that was a very entertaining story. Although I'm sure in real time, it was not very entertaining for Jim Ross. Rizzo again. Man, Rizzo dropping some love. I'm feeling the love here. This is basically the Christmas Raw stream. So I appreciate this. This is like your Christmas gift to me. I appreciate that. Rizzo says, Bronson Reed and Tegan should have gotten vignettes and not Lacey Evans. Also, well said on the sound off about Vince needing to stay the F away from coming back. Yes. I was very clear in my thoughts on the whole Vince McMahon story and the Mandy Rose story and the Sasha Banks story. There's a lot of good shit on the sound off on Sunday. So if you missed it, because there's a lot more as well that is not on YouTube, please go check out episode 787. That is up on all your usual streaming platforms for your listening enjoyment. Based Beerus, God of Sin. By the way, this has not been scientifically proven, but I have had people tell me that they will listen to the sound off at the gym. Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts or Spotify, they'll listen to the sound off. If they're on the elliptical, if they're on the treadmill, trying to get their heart rate up, they start listening to me. All of a sudden, their heart rate spikes 130, 140, 150. Their heart is racing, right? The sound off, man, it can have that effect on you. It gets your blood pumping. It gets your heart racing. Just saying. You want to burn some calories, you listen to the sound off. God of Seduction says, no snow in the city. Thanks for the snow here. And we had some snow. Well, the snow has stopped here as we went to go do the Super Chats. Miraculously, the snow suddenly came to an end. And the Comeback Kid thumbnail is hilarious. Well, you can thank the wonderful Steve Mello for that one. We always talk about the thumbnails and that he kind of makes the... He makes them come to life, so thank you to Steve. I know he was particularly proud of that one, the Comeback Kid. Justin Jack says, hello, Solomonster. I am playing The Witcher 3. Well, you'll have to let me know how that is. I have not played The Witcher 3. I have not played The Witcher 1 or 2 either. Rizzo says, I got through 30 minutes of The Nine Lives of Vince McMahon because I realized it was just clips of Dark Side of the Ring. Well, you would have known that if you would have listened to the podcast. I could have told you. I could have saved you a lot of trouble. You could have just heard my review. It was very quick. Cameron Spencer with the $4.99. Do you think Vince is a bad man, or are the stories of him greatly exaggerated? How do you feel? I don't think Vince McMahon is evil incarnate, like people will suggest. Do I think he's... bad man or someone who has done some pretty bad things? Yes, I do. I think there's a good side to him as well. I don't think he's pure evil where his fucking head spins and he spits out, you know, he vomits, projectile vomits all over the place. Or that he has horns sticking out of his head. But do I think he, you know, he's done some bad shit? Yes, I do. I can appreciate him for all that he has done for his company. And again, I grew up a huge fan of WWE in that era where he was, I mean, you talk about the gimmicks and everything else. That's what I grew up on. And I love wrestling. I'm a proud wrestling fan, all kinds of wrestling. And maybe that wouldn't have happened if I didn't grow up watching his product. So, but you can separate the two. You can have an appreciation for someone for that, but also recognize the fact that they can be a real piece of shit. And you could also recognize the fact that now we are, what, almost 40 years later, and the man is almost 80 years old, and he's lost his touch when it comes to a lot of stuff, and he don't need to be there now. I can't tell you how many messages I got from people saying, oh, you're so ungrateful, all that he's given us, for all that he... So, and I wonder, you know, I would love to ask these people, instead of arguing with them and debating with them and yelling and insulting and everything. So, are you suggesting that because of that, because of what he's done in the past, should he just, what, just kind of, he's entitled to retain that position until the day that he croaks and nobody else can kind of take over? I mean, like, what are you arguing here? It almost is like if you have a coach in football who guides his team to the Lombardi Trophy. They win the Super Bowl, right? Maybe they win two Super Bowls or three Super Bowls in a row. And you're a fan of that team, right? And it's like, man, this guy led us to the promised land, right? Three times in a row. This is great. But then 15 years later, should he still be coaching that team? Probably not, right? Especially if they have a bunch of losing seasons. You wouldn't have too many people saying, oh, but yeah, he gave us those three Super Bowls, man. I mean, all that he's given us. Surely, I mean, he should be able to keep his position and keep his spot as the coach of the team. No, you would be saying, get him the fuck out of there and get somebody new in there. Because I want to start winning again. It's the same concept. I never understood that. You can have an appreciation for what they've given you, but also admit that it's time to move on and get some new blood in there. But the defenders will come out, and my God, I mean, it's almost like this man can do no wrong. Sickening. And it's not just a wrestling thing either, by the way. See it in politics. You see it, it's just, it makes me sick. These people are brainwashed. We've got Dr. Dakota Scorpio. Sorry, I mean the promo from the McMahons from 4 years ago yesterday. LOL. Thought Raw was good in weeks. Thank you, Dakota. Casper says, sounds like a certain coach in New England. I was kind of thinking of him, too. Scott Gimple with The Walking Dead. They rebounded a bit in those last couple of seasons. Thunder Force 2000, Bayley Lynch against Sasha Flair. Oh my God. We got to get those Photoshops going. Groovy Goose. Tony Khan probably wants Vince to come back. Oh, please. The best thing that could happen to AEW is for Vince to come back. Are you kidding me? BCOM, see clearly, I'm happy for you in the chat because some of your channel members are hilarious. You all cheer me up throughout the night. Thank you. Glad we can be of service to you. BCOM, see clearly. Boots says, I want to know, will Bailey be our girl? You got to sing it for her. If you sing it to her, she might be. SSJ4 Omega says you should definitely make Sopranos content. Maybe when I eventually go back, start the series from the very beginning. Maybe. Maybe we can start something then. Queen Fire Panda, $10 super chat. Okay, Salamaster, if Cheeseburger wins the Royal Rumble and beats Roman, then you have to acknowledge me at the start of the WrestleMania stream. I'll make that bet. Tyler the Ghost, unrelated to Raw, but do you know what happened to Roderick Strong? I have not seen him since early September. Last I heard, he was injured. I don't remember the nature or know the nature of the injury, but I believe it's injury related. Winston Smith, best masked wrestler of all time. Do we need more? Well, I mean, when you say best, you know, people, there are luchadors who were far bigger than Rey Mysterio was, but for me, I mean, the answer is Rey Mysterio. Rizzo says Vice TV should really do an investigative report about the NXT parking lot. Well, how do you know they haven't tried? They send a reporter there, and then the person disappears, doesn't come back. BCOM C clearly says, good night. I'm going to put it in God's hands now. You will be just fine. I have faith. Hopefully things will get better and will work out for you. And hopefully you'll be in a much better situation around people who are not all jerks, unfortunately. So all the best to you, my friend. Corey Blake, Salamonster, great work as always. I know you said The Wire is one of your favorite shows. Buy or sell on the bigger screw-up, McNulty or Herc? I gotta go Herc. I think I might go Herc over McNulty. I can't believe it took me that long to see The Wire. I only first watched The Wire earlier this year. But and it's not in my top three, but it's a very good show. Very good show. D.E.H. Sires. Didn't Seth call KO a fat ass mid-match back in the day? He may have. I don't recall, but he may have. Philip Burnell is a man. Oh, it's our friend Juan. Three more days until the return of Juan Ocampo. So you're going to probably miss the Dynamite stream. You'll still be Philip, right, on Wednesday? Oofman Entertainment with the $10 Super Chat drop. Who does the outros for the sound off? I was laughing my ass off this past Sunday with the Bret Hart at Home Depot with the Home Depot commercial jingle in the background. That would be our good friend Noah Mark. Good friend of mine, good friend of the podcast. If you've been listening to the sound off for years, you've heard his voice before on the show because he's been part of a lot of the old WrestleMania roundtables that we used to do. So yes, that is all Noah. He does the outros for the show, and he also does the intro for Be the Booker, which we're going to be doing here in a moment. Rizzo, I thank Vince for making WWF into what it is today, but it's evident that he has fallen off since 2011, if not earlier, in some people's opinions. I think Vince McMahon could have dementia and not even know his own name. And these people would still defend him and think that he should be running the show. These people are out of their mind. Food High. Late to the party, but quick story. I was casually showing my wrestling friend the sound off, and then boom, a Food Hive Smurfette joke. I hate it here. They know. They don't need me to say anything about it. They probably see you when you take her out, right? You've already double date with your friends, right? She's sitting there. You're buying a drink for her. You're sitting there. She's probably looking at you, calling you schmoopy, pinching your cheeks. And then you go to the bathroom to pinch a loaf, and then you come back, and now Smurfette is on somebody else's arm, and then Food Hive gets very upset. Oh my God, he turns into the Hulk. He goes over and he beats the piss out of this guy. She likes that. She likes it when he fights for her, right? She thinks it's sexy. You two are a bunch of freaks, you know that, right? Anyway, people are wondering, what the fuck are you talking about? But it's a love story, you know? I love a good love story around the holidays. Winston Smith, will there be another tag team buried alive match? Probably not. I mean, I don't see them bringing that back. I wish they would. I actually enjoyed the buried alive matches. I wish they would have that as a mode in the video game. Hey, not today, Jay just became a sound off superstar. Thank you, Jay. Aussie of Steel, I'm usually not a simping man, but I heard Toxic Attraction have a spot open. I would not mind hooking up with that. In your dreams. Toxic Attraction, again, I feel bad for JC and Gigi. They did nothing wrong, and now they had a good thing going, and now it's all fucked. Now they're a tag team. It's the way it goes. Unfortunately. Winston, don't worry about it, brother. I appreciate the support very much. And Graham... he's coming in with a super chat here. Canadian 279. You're hungover in a restaurant. What is for lunch? I'm hungover in a restaurant. What is for lunch? Maybe some bone marrow. Rizzo with the five. Also, as you said on the podcast, Mandy Rose had a lot more than PG-13 photos. Or so I was told. I'm just going by the internet, obviously. Well, of course. Dr. Dakota Scorpio says, the color blue disturbs me now. Oh, you'll never think of blue the same way again. Food Hive says, wait, is Schmoopy a Smurf thing? I called my ex that. I just got that from, I thought it was a Seinfeld thing. maybe it is a thing that came from somewhere else. I don't know, but I always thought it was just a Seinfeld thing. And not today, Jay, dropping a $9.99 super chat. Look at this. Coming in with the membership and the super chat. He says, Salamaster, I would like to thank JD putting me onto your content. I really loved your take on Vince. I honestly don't believe Papa H and Stephanie will not let him come back. Well, right now, well, first of all, thank you. I appreciate that. And again, it's all rumor and speculation at this point. My expectation is he will not be back. Certainly not in any kind of official capacity. There are still people who are going to think he's already back. He's already pulling the strings and calling the shots. And again, it's not going to calm any of the conspiracy theories down about that. But hopefully that does not happen. I don't think that will happen. But what a shitstorm it would be if you tried. It would almost be more entertaining to follow all the family stuff behind the scenes in a situation like that than watching the actual TV show. Just put a camera in the back, put a camera in the boardroom, put a camera at home. Just wild, wild to think about. But anyway, thank you, brother. I appreciate that. So we are all caught up on the, for now anyway, on the Super Chats. See, Graham knows. Graham says bone marrow is underrated. I had bone marrow for the first time in Miami when I was there for WrestleMania. 10 years ago. I was in Miami for WrestleMania 28. I thought bone marrow was, you know, it was just in your body. And I ate bone marrow for the first time, and it was delicious. I highly recommend it. But now it is time, and if you are new here, this will be a fun segment. It is time to be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
There she is, the former NXT Women's Champion. Probably the last time you'll ever see her here. You got her right here on the sound off. Hey, Riddick's Classic Arcade just became a sound off superstar. Riddicked. Is that a YouTube channel? If it is, everybody check it out. Riddick's Classic Arcade just became a member. Sean O'Hare says, are we live, pal? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we're live. And it is going to be the Booker time. So if you are new here, we have a spiffy little randomizer here that I have created. One for the men, one for the women, and one for tag teams. And we just randomly try to book three matches that people actually might want to see. I have no idea what it's going to land on. That's kind of the whole fun of it. So let's see. We begin here with Kota Ibushi. We've not seen Kota Ibushi wrestle in a very long time. But apparently he might be a free agent in the new year. We could see him end up in AEW. This was him in the Cruiserweight Classic. WWE wanted to sign him to a full-time contract, and he basically said, I don't fucking think so. Smartest move he ever made. So let's see. Kota Ibushi going to go one-on-one. This has to be a bell, right? Not a buzzer. I mean, it would take a horrible opponent for me to give this the buzzer. Kota Ibushi going to go one-on-one with the honorary Oos, Sami Zayn. I love it. Sami Zayn and Kota Ibushi. Sign me up for that. That's a fucking match right there. I love it. Imagine Sami hitting the blue thunder bomb. Hey, there's Perk Angle on screen, everybody. Merry Christmas, Perk. There he is. Look how happy he is. All right, let's move on to the women. I could have phrased that a little bit better, probably, but here we go. We begin with someone who should be in the WWE Hall of Fame. It is not. Cyndi Lauper. Cyndi Lauper should be in the WWE Hall of Fame. I have no idea why she's not. Maybe she doesn't want to be. But that is puzzling to me. Cyndi Lauper. The very first WrestleMania. Let's see who she's going to go one-on-one here with. Rhea. Oh, wait a minute. What the hell just happened? I feel bamboozled. I thought it landed on Rhea Ripley. What happened here? It fooled me. I was about to hit the bell, and then it landed on Deborah. Cyndi Lauper and Deborah would be a fucking terrible match. It swerved me. It's like the Price is Right sometimes. When you hit that little, on the wheel, the big wheel, you think it lands, and then all of a sudden it just kind of clicks on to the next number. Well, I got fooled on that one. That would have been 2 for 2. I guess we're going to have to, it all falls here on the tag teams. We begin with Team Hell No, Daniel Bryan and Kane. Got any Team Hell No fans in the chat? I wasn't really a big Team Hell No fan. Some of the skits were kind of amusing. They were kind of funny, but not my favorite thing. But let's see. Team Hell No going to get in the ring with the Killer Bees. I'm going to give that the bell. Should I? Yeah, I'll give it the bell. I think that'd be a good match. I mean, it's not a main event, but I think that could be a good match. 2 out of 3. There we go. Not a bad night. Not a bad night. 2 out of 3. I can live with that. I can live with that. That, you know what that is? That's a good opening match on my pay-per-view. Team Hell No and the Killer Bees. You get Bryan Danielson in the ring with, you know, Brian Blair. You get some good mat wrestling going on there. And Kane comes in there and just fucking destroys them. That works for me. We got some final super chats here. We got Rizzo with the $10 super chat. I'm a shareholder in WWE, obviously not on a major level. I only have 15 shares. WWE has to be responsible to shareholders and make money. I highly doubt the board will let that stock price plummet. Well, I talked about that on the podcast on Sunday. They have a fiduciary responsibility to make sure that company does not lose money. And I don't see how bringing Vince McMahon back is going to make them any more money. If anything, it could cost them money. And then shareholders could sue if they feel like the company is not doing what they should be doing or doing everything in their power to make money. I don't think they want lawsuits on their hands. Food Hive. I have a new favorite Seinfeld episode, The Contest, although The Smelly Car is the funniest episode ever. Raw is beyond BO. It is BBO. And Riddick's Classic Arcade with the $5 super chat. Yes, sir, that's my channel. Happy to finally hop on board here. Been listening for a few months and very much enjoy your show, brother. Well, I am happy to hear that. And again, shout out to Riddick's Classic Arcade. You can go check that out. We've picked up a lot of new subs, a lot of new channel members in the last, I'd say, week and a half or so. It's been a good month so far. I want to end the year on a high note. So this last week coming up, we're not going to do a Raw stream next week because there is no new Raw show. But there'll be a Dynamite stream. SmackDown's huge. That final SmackDown on the 30th is going to be a big show. And right now at this moment, the plan is for the third year in a row to do our New Year's Eve stream. I get to spend my New Year's Eve with you guys if you want to spend it with me. We can hang out, ring in the new year together. I think that sounds like a plan. So we got some streams left to go here this year. Turtlehead is with us. Look at this, Turtlehead. Sheiky Baby disapproves of that tag match. The Sheiky Baby isn't very happy with Brian Blair. I know that. The Iron Sheik is no fan of Brian Blair. And Darth Panic. Do you see Mandy being picked up by AEW? I think Tony Khan would take her if she wants to go. I would take her if she wants to come here. Maybe Mandy Rose ends up on the Sound Up channel. Stranger things have happened. I think that she's going to end up back in WWE next year at some point. It might not be until later in the year, But I think ultimately she'll end up back in WWE. It comes down to what she wants to do. She can make more money doing what she's doing now instead of taking bumps and wrestling, then why the hell would she do that? I mean, if the numbers I'm seeing are anywhere close to accurate, she doesn't have to take bumps ever again if she doesn't want to. So, yeah, I mean, I could see her there, but ultimately it comes down to what she wants to do. And Food Hive, dinner tonight was taco egg rolls. Dinner tonight was, for the first time, and I told you guys I got an air fryer a couple weeks ago, so I'm trying new things. And dinner tonight was shrimp tempura in the air fryer. Very good. Very, very good. I approve. Although I didn't have any real dipping sauce, so I used ketchup, but it was fine. Very good. Very good stuff. Rizzo says, I would make content with her as well. Oh, I'm sure you would. I'm sure you would. You would bathe in her bathwater. I know you would, Rizzo. Half the people in this chat would do that. William says, apparently Mandy raised the membership price on her website after being released. Cornette and Last said the fee is $40 a month now. How would they know? How would they know what her membership fee is? Makes you wonder, right? Well, hey, if she has, good for her. I mean, it's supports it, then why not? People are willing to pay it. The same thing I said about Sasha Banks and everybody getting up in arms when she was charging so much money to C2E2 to make an appearance back in August. And I'm like, if she thinks she can get the money, then what fuck? I mean, get the money. And she did. I mean, it's like, it's ridiculous. If people are willing to pay, great. If they're not willing to pay, you'll have to lower your fee. If people aren't paying for her membership, she'll have to lower it back. That's all. But if she can get that, bank, more power to her. I respect the hell out of her for it. Kevin says Cornette has to be doing something being locked up in his house all the time. Yeah, he's probably on Mandy Rose's page. The real Dirty Dan has been a Sound Off legend for 4 months, but he says 4 months worth of a Solid Monster legend membership or 1 month for Mandy. Easy choice. Sorry, Solo. Hey, you do what you got to do. I don't blame you. I can't give you the kind of content that Mandy is giving people. I don't think you want that content from me. So I can't give that to you. Food Hive, yes, I know you are not a fan of Ibushi. I'm aware. And he says, did you ever try air-fried PB&J? Delicious. Air-fried PB&J? No, I have not. I have no interest in that. I have no interest in trying that. Have I made chicken wings in the air fryer? Yes, they came out very good. Maybe we do want that kind of content from you. I don't think YouTube would allow that kind of content. So, it's a moot point anyway. There's a market for, oh, believe me, I know that. There's a market for everything. Solid Monster, start an OnlyFans. I've had people say, start a Cameo and this, and I'm like, who would want that? But hey, maybe there's a market for it. I don't know. Hey, BR, welcome. BR says, I've been listening to the podcast for 5 years. This is my first comment. BR has come out of the shadows. Who is that? Is that Sloppy? I missed that. Someone just subscribed. I thought that said Sloppy. Well, if it was Sloppy, welcome to the channel. We have a lot of Sloppy people on here. Solid Monster After Dark. Make it happen. Solid Monster Socks Off. Oh, boy, you're getting weird now. You guys are getting weird. The thought of Solid Monster trying to be sexy for the camera just makes me laugh so hard. That would be awful. You know what? I think we ought to call it quits after Solid Monster Socks Off. You know what? I think that's a sign that we ought to call an end to this stream here. This has been fun. Thank you guys for hanging out with me tonight. One last look at the poll. There it is. We are now under 60%. for the thumbs up score for Raw tonight. You can go vote and follow. At Solomonster is the place to go on there. We're going to be live again on Wednesday night after Dynamite. And then probably SmackDown's a taped show this week. I will probably be live after SmackDown. It's Festivus. Probably will be live Friday night as well, but I'll let you guys know. And again, if you missed it, check out episode 787 of the podcast. Good episode. Covered a lot of ground. That's the flagship show. Drops every Sunday, as you know. It is up for your listening pleasure. So thank you for hanging out with me. Snowy day, as you can see here. But this was the holiday stream. Well, the snow and the lights might be back again, though, on Wednesday. We might be doing that all week. Until then, be well, stay safe, have yourselves a fantastic rest of your night, and I will see you guys right back here live for the AEW Dynamite review on Wednesday night. Take care, guys.